Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of WrestleChat Radio's Raw Report. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next hour, we will be discussing last night's Monday Night Raw at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, of course, as always, you can hit us up in our chat room, and we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. An actual horror show. That's what Monday Night Raw was last night, folks. An actual horror show in more ways than one. So let's start right from the beginning, shall we? And as Raw opens, we see there are already tag teams in the ring, and RK-Bro is coming down, and the announcers inform us that we are about to see a elimination battle royal to decide the number one contenders for the tag team titles, currently held, of course, by AJ Styles and Almos. Well, AJ Styles and Almos come down, and they spend a good, I don't know, 6-8 minutes cutting promos on everybody in the ring. Now, here's the funny thing. Lince Dorado's in there by himself, because Grand Metalik got hurt. Maybe it's reverse. I don't know. One of the two of them's in the ring. What happens if he wins? What partner is he going to have? So that makes no sense. It just shows you what a weak, horrible division the WWE Raw's tag team division is, because they've got people in there that, let's face it, they should not be in there. Then they have to add The Miz and Morrison, who actually do a pretty funny segment where Miz and Morrison come down and Morrison lets go of the wheelchair because Miz is in a wheelchair and The Miz slides down the ramp in slow motion to Morrison's music, only to be caught at the very end by Morrison anyway, who runs after him. But Morrison enters. What happens if Morrison wins? Miz is in a wheelchair. Who's his partner going to be? Both of these made no sense. They had Retribution in there. Why? Because they don't have enough tag teams. Who's Retribution beat that they would deserve a shot at a title? Now, the New Day, we understand. Viking Raiders, okay. Let's say Dorado or Grand Metalik with no partner. Morrison with no partner. And, of course, RK-Bro, who you think definitely is going to win. You'd have to assume those are the guys who are going to win. That's where the interest would be. And instead, we get the Viking Raiders winning, which is really just to say we need some more cannon fodder to make AJ and Almos look unbeatable before they go up against RK-Bro, I guess. Because that's definitely where this is going. So I'm looking around the tag team thing, and I'm saying, okay, well, you have the Viking Raiders are a great tag team if you promote them, but they haven't been promoted. Retribution's going nowhere. Forget it. Lucha House Party's not going anywhere. Forget it. Now that one's injured, you can really forget it. The Miz and Morrison are out of it because Miz is injured, unfortunately. Elias and Riker broke up, so that they're out of it. RK-Bro, those are the ones who are really dominating as far as the fans' perception. And that's it. You know, that's really it. It's a shame to see. Plus, this has nothing to do with how good your tag team is. That's another thing. It's a battle royal. Braun Strowman won one of these all by himself and didn't have a partner, if you remember. Had to pick a kid out of the audience. So that's how important this is. We're not judging this by how good of a tag team you are. We're not judging this by wins and losses. We're not even judging it by if you have a tag team partner, because Morrison clearly doesn't, and neither does Lince Dorado, so I have no idea how they thought this was a great idea for a tag team qualifier. None whatsoever. Rather than to just say we're going to have these teams all participate in a multi-team match, and the winners of the multi-team match will go on to face the champions, which would have made a little bit of sense. The reason they did it this way, however, is because they did not want RK-Bro to lose by a pinfall, a submission, or anything else, and they didn't want him to win. So I don't know, Mike. I think it made the tag team division look a little sparse and a little desperate.
Yeah, it did. And this is basically emblematic of what I've said for a while. When I say things like you can't help but compare SmackDown to Raw, and in that comparison, SmackDown is always going to be an A-plus show, no matter what they do and what they don't do, as opposed to Raw, which is always going to be at best a C-plus show, at best, you know. And this is another example of it. You don't know about the tag team division, and really, in all of wrestling, their tag team, the Raw tag team division, ranks how high?
I know.
All of wrestling. I'm not just WWE. Not just WWE and all of wrestling. I mean, you could name on both hands, on one hand, and the amount of true tag teams you have. Whereas with NXT
New Day
and AEW and stuff like that, you know. So yeah.
Yeah. It's New Day and the Viking Raiders. New Day is great and all, and the Viking Raiders are good when they're promoted. But see, here's the problem. Why are we supposed to hate or want to see AJ Styles and Almost beat? Number one, AJ Styles is likable even as a bad guy, so that's not too good. Number two, Almost has really done nothing. Now, if Almost was one of these people who were attacking people backstage, beating people up unnecessarily, throwing around his weight saying, nobody can stop me, I'll do what I want, nobody here is able to stop me, everybody's afraid of me, even the people backstage don't want to mess with me, then you'd say, all right, I want somebody to, you know, knock him down a few pegs. He's coming off as likable, too, for a guy his size. It's not working. They're not a good heel tag team because they don't act that much like heels. AJ Styles came down and basically said, oh, New Day's great. How many times have you been the champions and stuff? But, you know, your time has sort of passed. He sold even Retribution, saying, we don't know that much about you. We know you're big, strong, powerful guys that like to fight. That's always tough. Viking Raiders, you know, we can make some huge money together on the road. He's selling these teams. Now, I know there's an unwritten thing saying, you know, if you sell your opponent a little bit, then when you beat them, it's like you beat somebody. If you knock your opponents down and say they're nothing and you beat them, well, you should have beat them. They're nothing. But there is a fine line, and I think AJ Styles crossed that line. I mean, I'd have rather had him say, look, New Day, you haven't been the same. And everybody knows you haven't been the same. Your energy's gone. Your feel is gone. You were once great. You're not great anymore. Orton and Riddle, we're just waiting for you two to turn on each other. You're not going to coexist. Forget it. As far as Retribution is concerned, you haven't proven anything, my friends. There was strength in numbers. You don't even have the numbers anymore. Lince Dorado, what are you going to do for a partner if you win? Morrison, what are you going to do for a partner if you win? As far as the Viking Raiders, yeah, you're a legit tag team. Yeah, you're legit badasses, but here's the problem. I got a guy behind me that's the size of both of you put together. And I happen to be a multi-time world champion in many, 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 many different federations. Can you say the same? That's all he has to do. Nope. So this is a crap show. The Viking Raiders win. They're not winning the belts. So it's a worthless thing where, once again, Todd, we don't really care who wins because we already knew as soon as RK-Bro guys got thrown out, we already knew whoever wins this is not going to be the tag team champions.
Well, you're absolutely right there, like you said about this tag team battle royal last night. It was too predictable. in this one. We all kind of knew the Viking Raiders going to win, but they're not going to win the belts down the road. They eliminated.
I wasn't sure the Viking Raiders was going to win. I thought they'd have RK-Bro win it. But once they got thrown out, then I was like, well, it doesn't matter. Whoever wins this is not, if it's not RK-Bro that wins it, they're not winning the tag team belts. So, and, you know, to have Morrison thrown in there and Dorado won a house party, that's stupid. That's just stupid. Absolutely stupid. Now, backstage, we get Charlotte Flair saying, I want the loss expunged from my record. And apparently, Sonya Deville and Adam Pearce are on the same page now. They're no longer. They've dropped that angle. They dropped the angle that Sonya Deville was going to be a bad guy, general manager or something, because all of a sudden she's 100% with Pearce saying, we're not dropping anything. You agreed to the match, you lost. Then Rhea Ripley, whose stock is going down faster than Coca-Cola, literally no personality, comes up and blows it, can't even get her line right, and then says something about, well, I should be the first person to fight her because I respect her, but I lost too, and I think I should have another shot at her. Oh, God. The personality over here is zero. Zero. She's actually annoying. She has go-away heat. She has that kind of, well, she just shows up, and you're like, okay. So that's not good. It's not good for your top face and your champion. Nikki Cross and Asuka have more charisma in their middle finger than Rhea Ripley has in her whole body. But it's decided, well, you guys are going to form a tag team. And we'll let Nikki Cross go get a tag team partner. And my first thought was, oh, my God, she's going to get Alexa Bliss. Is she going to be able to pull this off? And somehow Alexa's going to turn on everybody or something. That was my first thought. Second thought was Asuka. Turns out my second thought's correct. And I don't know whether, you know, Asuka just follows what Nikki Cross does or Nikki Cross is following what Asuka does, but together they're actually pretty good because they're just constant motion. They're two energy balls. But again, not interested in the match, and I'll tell you why I'm not interested in the match. We already know that they're not going to coexist. We already know that the main objective of this match isn't to have a match. It's to have Charlotte Flair and Rhea Ripley turn on each other so that they could further the feud. Asuka and Nikki Cross, they're just cannon fodder. They're just extras in the play. When you're using Asuka as an extra, let alone Nikki Cross, who just came back, that's very bad. Now, I got to tell you, Nikki Cross, when she used to do her crazy thing with Sanity, I thought was really, really, really good, and she did it really well. But she also does this hyperbolic ball of energy girl very well, too. She is a lot better than people give her credit for. A lot better. And I know one of the drawbacks is it's very hard to understand her accent if you aren't from a Celtic country. I can understand her. I'm Irish. She's Scottish. But I can understand her fine. I know. I have friends who say, I don't know. I can't understand a word she's saying. I get it. And it's going to hold her back if she doesn't try to calm down a little bit and speak a little clearer, because I get it. But, man, she's fun to watch. She's a lot of fun to watch. In this match, again, she was fun to watch, and Asuka was fun to watch. And you're wasting Asuka, by the way. Get Asuka back in the title picture immediately. Cycle her back up immediately. If you're not going to do that, let these two be a permanent tag team and let them win the belts, because they'd be a lot of fun as a tag team. This match itself, there's nothing technically wrong with it, Mike, except we knew it was just, you know, it was basically a show to get Rhea Ripley and Charlotte Flair to turn on each other.
Right, and that's the thing. I mean, think about this. Let's go back 40 years and what was happening at that point. The Warrior and Hogan, right? And what happened on one Saturday night's main event? They had their tag team match with the Genius and Mr. Perfect, right? The turn didn't happen. The breakup didn't happen until after the match. They coexisted to the point of, well, are they, you were asking yourself at the time, are you going to break, are they actually going to break up? You knew it was coming. Or are they going to actually break up? But you knew it was coming, right? So,
yeah.
I mean, and look, here's the deal. You could probably pull that off with chemistry they have, with the chemistry that Asuka and Nikki Cross seem to have with each other. You could probably pull that off with them, too. I mean, they have such...
Yeah, I mean, Rhea Ripley and Charlotte Flair, obviously, they were their enemies going into being a tag team. So we already knew they weren't going to coexist. We already knew they were going to fight each other during the match. Here's the thing, though, Mike. I didn't like the fact that Nikki Cross and Asuka celebrated like they won the Olympics after the match. I would have rather seen them be very, very upset that we didn't get a chance to really do what we normally do because of these two. Yeah, have their hands raised, but just, you know, shake your head like a freak, you know, because them celebrating, like, we'll take anything. It's okay. We know we didn't really win because of our skill, but that's okay. We won, and that's all that counts. That's a heel thing, you know, to me. It really is. It's just a heel thing. You know, one of the greatest things, bookings, that I think we ever did as a federation is we had a top face fight another top face. And it was a loser has to leave match. And our one top face won, but very questionable means, which he did not see. And when he realized, I won this match, but I really didn't win. He said, I want to take this back. I'm not going to destroy somebody's career because a referee made a mistake. We can't let this stand. And because he did that, he's a bigger face, right? Because he's saying, I won the match. I technically could have this guy who I don't like, even though he's another face, out of here. But I couldn't live with myself because I know I didn't really win. And that's not the way I want this done. Well, that's what a face does. No, Asuka and Nikki Cross are celebrating like, you know, they pinned the champion on their own. Don't like it. Don't like it. I don't think it's doing anything for them, their characters. We get Elias, who I guess they've decided, yeah, we screwed up, and it made Elias look like a heel the other week, even though he cut a face promo backstage. So we'll just have Jackson Ryker be the face, and Elias will still be the heel. This is the problem. You don't know by one week to the other what the hell you're doing. Now, granted, Elias looked like the heel when he walked away from that tag team match. But backstage, he said, look, I tried to tell him we need a plan. He don't want a plan. There's something mentally wrong with him. And I don't want anything to do with him anymore. He follows me around all the time. He's stalking me around. I think he's nuts. I just want him out of my life. Okay. Well, that's kind of a face promo saying, look, I know he's a good wrestler. I know he's a tough guy, but he's a little weird, and I would rather not associate with him. Okay. That's a face promo. Then this week he's the heel again, and Jackson Ryker is the face. And he's cut his hair, by the way. I could not be less interested in this feud. I'm glad Jackson Ryker's doing something. I hope they do something better with him than this. But if you were really serious about trying to do something, you should have made Jackson Ryker this guy who's legitimate nuts. And the heel. You should have had him say, I am not done with Elias. Elias doesn't quite understand. I'm his biggest fan. I'm not going anywhere. And then you would have had this weird situation where he's like a stalker, where Elias could legitimately say, look, this guy is nuts, and I don't know what he's going to pull, but he's not safe. He's not a safe dude. And you would have had a pretty good storyline. No, can't do that. Can't do that because that makes too much sense. You honestly think Jackson Ryker's going to get over as a big face? I don't. Now let's talk about the other way. You think Elias can get over as a big face? Yes, because he already did. He already did. So, I mean, if you had Riker do something horrible to Elias out in the parking lot somewhere and make it be like almost like a misery situation where he says, I'm his biggest fan, but if he's going to try to, distance himself from me, I'm going to be his worst enemy until he realizes that he needs me. He realizes that we belong together as a duo or as a team. It would have been really pretty spooky. And you could have done a lot of good segments with Riker being like a complete nut. You know, showing him with Elias posters and listening to Elias's music and freaking out, saying, I am the only person qualified to be his partner. He knows that. He knows that I'm, you know, this, that, and the other thing. And Elias saying, look, he went off the deep end. This guy's nuts. No, instead, Mike, let's make Elias the heel, and I'm sure, you know, let him run away from Jackson Riker. That's going to further Elias's career, Mike.
Yeah, Elias. They had a golden goose there. I mean, for God's sake, people were chanting, what does WWE stand for? Walk with Elias. They had it. They had the tiger by the tail, and they pissed it away like they do so many times, you know? I mean, God. And they could have made something of this whole, you know, crazed fan thing. If they'd done
Absolutely.
It right. You know, I mean, we've seen that happen. We've seen in real life rock musicians and star and movie stars have crazed fans. And it's been, you know, a bad thing at times. And so it's like, okay, why? And you could have actually used that. And I know at the time they were doing, you know, I know at the time they were doing him as a heel, but you could actually have used that to flip, which we thought they were going to do, to flip a lot. You know?
Yeah, they had that tag team championship match. All they really had to do is to have Elias say, look, this is the biggest match of our lives, and that guy is a giant. Let's sit down and talk about this and have him say, there's nothing to talk about. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to destroy him. And then say, listen, you know, no. He's 7 foot something. You're not going to go out there and destroy him. We can beat him, but we're going to have some strategy. No strategy. You just tag me in when he comes in, and I promise you, I'll take care of him. And have Elias, whatever. And then sure enough, have Riker, the second almost gets in the ring, force the tag on Elias, run right in there, get his ass beat, and have Elias just walk away saying, this is ridiculous. This guy's just nuts. He just pissed away a title shot. And that's what you say. When you go backstage, you say, listen, we didn't get that many title shots. And he just pissed it away. I ask him, please, can we make a strategy? His strategy is he runs at him headlong. He runs at the giant headlong. Because he's a nut. And he's been really weird lately, and I don't want anything to do with him. Quite frankly, I don't want anything to do with this guy anymore. I think he's not wrapped too tight, and I think it's time we just ended this partnership. And then if you want to interview Jackson Riker, who says the partnership is never over, I'm Elias' biggest fan. I'll always be his biggest fan. He needs me. He just doesn't realize he needs me, but he needs me. There it starts. There it starts. That's all you have to do, WWE. I'm going to tell you something that's going to upset you all. Maybe not all of you. Maybe some of you think it's great, but I don't. WWE apparently has hired a writer, a female writer, who apparently had tweeted that she is all for this race training crapola and that white people are not whatever, and she will accept money in lieu of making up for your white privilege. In other words, if you want to send me money, I will forgive your white privilege. She's a writer for the WWE. This is what you're going to get. You're going to get stupid people. You're going to get idiots. Why are you hiring people like this? Can you hire a qualified writer? Is it so hard to find one? Is it so hard to find a qualified writer? The answer is no, it's not. You're cutting people left and right. How about you reach into your purse strings and pull out some money for somebody that actually put a pen on a piece of paper and make something make sense rather than a bunch of people who's too worried about what color skin they have? How about that? So then we get Jeff Hardy, who I think, okay, Jeff Hardy's coming out to put over anybody. I don't. It doesn't matter, because at this point they're not going to use Jeff Hardy in any tangible way. What tangible way are you going to use Jeff Hardy? What tangible way are you going to use him? You're going to make a big run out of Jeff Hardy now? Why? When? The answer is you're not going to. So when Cedric Alexander walks down there, I'm like, okay, well, this is the start of Cedric Alexander. Apparently they're ditching Shelton Benjamin. And Cedric Alexander is going to get a decent push as a solo guy. That's fine. No, Jeff Hardy wins. Cedric Alexander's push is over. He lost to a guy who hasn't been on Raw in months. And the WWE has no plans for. No plans for. My head almost exploded. My head almost exploded. Because I'm saying to myself, how in the world can you justify this, Todd? You have just had Cedric Alexander have two wins over Shelton Benjamin in what I thought was going to be a push. Then you're feeding him a guy who you're not doing anything with, and that guy wins.
Oh, you're absolutely right there, like you said. I was thinking the same thing last night. They're going to push Cedric Alexander to get a mid-card belt like the U.S. belt or Intercontinental belt. No, he jobbed out to Jeff Hardy. To Jeff Hardy, who hasn't been on TV for 3 or 4 months.
I know, right? It was Mike. That has got to be the worst booking decision I think I've ever heard.
Yeah. I mean, think about it. And look, here's the deal. I'll say this about Jeff Hardy. They need to let him go, and if he's going to be anywhere, he's going to go back and be with his brother, all right?
Yep.
Be in that little group of people, you know, that type of thing. And as far as Cedric Alexander goes, yeah, I'm misbooking him, but I still think he should put that 20 pounds he lost back on and go in at about 220-225, you know. Not that he doesn't look it right now, because he's one of those guys that's very thickly built at 205, but he can carry that weight and still do some of the stuff he does, you know, and add that strength back. Not that he's not a weak guy, but
Alexander now. I mean, you've made a horse's ass out of him. You had him in a great tag team. You broke up the tag team. You had the two tag team partners feud. You had him dominate Shelton Benjamin 2 out of 3. And now he can't win against Jeff Hardy, who is basically there to enhance other people. So I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you about Cedric Alexander. It seems like the WWE sees no worth in him at all. So I don't know. We get the contract signing between Lashley and Drew McIntyre. This was really bad. It was really bad. And it culminates with Drew McIntyre cutting a table in half with with his sword, which is the Warner Brothers equivalent of Hassan Chop, I guess. And boom, down goes the table. And everybody's supposed to be scared because he's not going to bring a sword into the Hell in a Cell. So I don't know what the hell that has to do with anything. Nothing to see here. Sorry to tell you, nothing to see here. And McIntyre is losing credibility and fan support quick, in my opinion. So they better have something extremely important for him after this. Now, Ricochet is going to fight Humberto Carrillo, and I'm actually looking forward to this. I'm saying that this is good, because this is what I said on last week's show they should do. If have these two battle it out for, like, who really is the number one contender, and maybe one of them turn heel, which would be great. Instead, we have Sheamus come down, who has a legit broken nose, and Sheamus, on the microphone, being a guest commentator, has to save a match that should be the best match of the night. Because, to be honest, they're doing their flip-flops in the ring, and it's fine, but it's you know, we're not on the edge of our seat. There's no story being told. There's no, okay, Ricochet's getting frustrated and starting to take shortcuts, or Carrillo's getting frustrated and starting to take shortcuts. No. There's none of that. Sheamus is saying how he's hideously deformed. He's grotesquely mutilated. He was the best-looking guy in the Federation, and now he's not. He was really good. Sheamus was really good. Sheamus saved the whole match for me. Naturally, it ends with a double countout because neither of these guys can lose against one another, and I guess it's going to set up a three-way dance for the belt. I'm imagining that's what that's going to be when Sheamus's nose gets back in shape. But what should have been probably a four-star match at least pretty much had to be saved by Sheamus's commentary, Mike. Otherwise, it would have been average at best.
Right, and think about this with Sheamus. I mean, they think that mask may make him look weak. No. In my mind, it makes him look like even more of a badass.
Yeah, no question. I mean, this is the thing about Sheamus. He's on a roll here. It's a shame that he hit his stride so late and so many injuries, because this is a guy that if he was just coming into the Federation with this exact gimmick and this exact whatever, you'd say, man, he's got it. He's got it cranking. He's got his character down. He's got his shtick down. He's got his wrestling down. You watch him wrestle, and he looks like he's really, you know, going at it. Even when he gets hurt, he's still like, you know, I'm looking at that scene. His blood's all down his chest. His nose is broke pretty severely, obviously, as he had to go to the hospital and have that everything on it. And he's still wrestling. And then you're like, damn, that's a wrestler, you know. That's not a guy who's, oh, man, I broke my pinky finger. Call off the match. Oh, man, you know, I got some of my hair pulled out. Call off the match. I don't want to go through such agony. Now, this is an old school type. And he said it last night, by the way. God bless him. He said, I'm old school. Yeah, I wish more people were. Because that's the kind of wrestling I like. Anyway, we get Kofi Kingston backstage talking to MVP. Now, this does at least give us a little branch on a tree, even though Kofi Kingston absolutely dismissed him and said, I want nothing to do with you. I do not listen to people like you. Get out of my sight. It's still there. There's still a little branch on the tree that this could happen. This could potentially happen. Now, what I would love to see happen, if I'm the writer, this is what I pitch. Every week for the next, I don't know, 3-4 weeks, MVP and Kofi Kingston, with MVP saying, you could be so much more than this, I'm telling you. And have him say, look, I'm happy where I am. You don't understand. I'm not ditching my friends for you or for money. I don't play that game. Maybe Bobby Lashley plays that game. Maybe Shelton Benjamin and Cedric Alexander play that game. I don't. Leave me alone. And each week you have Xavier Woods say, what is the problem? Why do you keep hanging around that guy? He's nuts. Don't leave me alone. Then when the time comes and Kofi Kingston says, one more time, I'm telling you for the very last time, nothing to do with you now, nothing to do with you ever. Xavier Woods attacks him. And he says, I thought you were going to say that, so I decided to go and get another asset that I think was very, very underrated. And he don't seem to have those qualms. He doesn't seem to have those problems, Kofi. And all that time you would have thought, oh, Kofi was sticking up for his friend. Kofi was saying, I'm never leaving my friend. I'm not going to do this. Xavier Woods did it in a heartbeat. And you'd have a hell of a feud. You'd have one hell of a feud. And you'd still have Big E maybe able to come back and save it eventually, since his career is put on hold, thanks to Aleister Black's feud being mixed with Aleister Black being released. It's just one theory, but it's something you could certainly do. They put on a good match, Riddle and Kofi Kingston. Riddle lost, dicking around, trying to be Randy Orton. Randy Orton didn't seem all that upset, but he seemed a little frustrated. We'll see where this is going. One thing Randy Orton has done, I'll give him credit for this, and then I'm going to say something about Randy Orton's going to upset you. Randy Orton has made Riddle palatable. Before, Riddle was so aggravating that you just wanted to see him get beat up. He's a better heel. Now, you can actually say, okay, I can live with Riddle. That's Randy Orton's doing. But I'll tell you something else that might be Randy Orton's doing too. Randy Orton said he didn't want to work with Braun Strowman, and suddenly Braun Strowman is gone. Randy Orton, who has been around this federation for I don't know how long and probably can call his own shots. Obviously he can, because if he said, I don't want to work with Braun Strowman, and they said, fine, I do want to work in a tag team with Riddle, and they said, okay, we'll work that into the show, then I guess Randy Orton can call his shots. How come Randy Orton then at WrestleMania didn't say, I don't think I should be beating The Fiend? This doesn't make sense. Let him beat me. I'll go for a while. When I come back, I'll hook up with Riddle, and that'll be that. He didn't say that. And now where's Bray Wyatt? Where do we – I don't see Bray Wyatt. So Braun Strowman and Bray Wyatt, both of which were Randy Orton victims in one way or the other, seem to be gone. Now, Bray Wyatt's not fired. I don't know where the hell he is. We've seen one appearance of him on the Funhouse after WrestleMania, and that's it. That's it. And both of these involve Randy Orton, so I don't know. I don't know how much swing he has, but he has some. So that disturbed me. But it did not disturb me as much as having the main event literally being Alexa Bliss's playground segment. That's the main event? Shayna Baszler? On Alexa Bliss's playground? You got to be kidding me. I mean, you got to be kidding me. And then what do? She stomps on the doll, and the lights start to flicker. She starts to run up the rampway, and the fire goes ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom all over the place. She runs backstage where I guess Alexa Bliss has magically made the entire WWE universe disappear because there's not one person backstage. Not one. Stuff is tipping over. She hides in a dressing room or something, locks the door, turns around, looks in the mirror, and there's the Lily doll in the mirror. But when she turns around, the Lily doll's not there. That's very reminiscent of the old Ultimate Warrior skit. Remember that one? The funny thing is we obviously get to see the doll in the mirror, so I guess we're possessed too, because if the doll's not really there, but we can see him in the mirror too, I guess somehow Alexa Bliss managed to possess all the audience watching at home. This is just dumb. I'm sorry, but it's dumb. You took a character, The Fiend, that in itself could be considered a little bit dumb, but if you used it right, it would have been cool. And you gave that angle to Alexa Bliss to basically destroy the women's division, because that's what you've done. You now have Shayna Baszler, who legitimately beat every single person in the Hell in a Cell match. Elimination Chamber match. Literally beat every single person in there. Tried to bite Becky Lynch's neck off. Was breaking people's arms in NXT. And legitimately looks like a badass MMA bully. Screaming at the top of her lungs over the fact that there's a doll in the mirror. Okay, well, if Shayna Baszler reacts this way and she can't do anything against Alexa Bliss, how in the hell is Charlotte Flair or Rhea Ripley or Asuka or anybody else? How? You destroyed the women's division. And let me explain how you've destroyed the women's division. You're starting to go right back to divas. You might as well start calling them divas again pretty soon. I mean, let's just face it. You have Eva Marie coming in saying, I know I'm so glamorous and beautiful and pretty and I'm a model and everybody loves me, but I want to spread positivity and show little girls they can be like me too. You have Carmella saying, I'm the most beautiful woman in WWE. You have Sasha Banks saying, I'm the boss, I'm the hottest, I'm the greatest, I'm the whatever. What are we going to have next, pillow fights? I thought this was gone. I thought this whole how you look didn't matter much. Now you got Alexa Bliss playing like she's 9 years old, sitting on a swing set with a doll, but apparently she's some kind of a witch or a whatever, and she can just cause all kinds of chaos, including the whole WWE universe, I guess, to disappear, but she's going to get pinned somehow. I mean, we know what's going to lead up to this. Eventually, something's going to happen in the match, and she's going to go back to the old Alexa Bliss, and she's going to lose, and then that character's done. I get it. I see where that's going. Oh, she banged her head really hard, and now she's just plain Alexa Bliss, and she gets wrapped up for the pin, and she don't even remember any of the stuff she ever did. And then maybe they'll reintroduce Bray Wyatt. I get that's where that's going, but it still stinks. Because if Bray Wyatt is behind her power, how come Bray Wyatt can't do it then? Bray Wyatt can't beat Randy Orton after one RKO. So I don't get this whole thing, Mike, and I just think it's, I don't know, I think it's ruining the women's division.
I think it is, too, and tell you the truth, I mean, we've talked ad nauseum about what Charlotte Flair's contract is. She would have to be a blind idiot to not see where this is taking the division. Because remember, she was brought in along with Becky Lynch and Bayley and stuff like that as the women's revolution, right? And so,
yep.
And you're going to take that and take it 15 years, 20 years backwards, right, to where you had, you know, what's her name? On all fours, barking like a doll, or pillow fight, or bra and panty matches, or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Right? So,
yep.
And how is this making Charlotte Flair any happier? And then you throw into the fact what she said, congratulating her man on getting a contract with AEW, and you think you're gonna buy her off with a huge contract when her contract comes up, eventually does come up?
Yeah, that's the problem, Mike. And I want to tell you something else that we haven't considered. I don't know what kind of deal Ric Flair has with the WWE, but if Ric Flair was ever to jump, you would have the reuniting of Ric Flair, Tully Blanchard, and Arn Anderson in AEW. And of course they can't get in the ring and wrestle, but just to have them back and maybe form some kind of an alliance would be pretty big, Mike.
Oh, yes. And look, even though they lost, they still got something with the Pinnacle. And of course we got being the coach for Cody Rhodes right now. And we're still waiting for him to turn on Cody Rhodes because we know he has that history with the Horsemen, have that history with Dusty. So that could add another layer of storytelling to AEW if and when Ric Flair, and I think it's only a matter of when Ric Flair eventually does show up in AEW.
Well, I'll tell you what, that has to be a big allure for him. If you say, look, we're going to reunite you with Arn and Tully, and we're going to pull some gimmick where you guys are, all three of you get together to form a stable or something of wrestlers. That's a biggie. That's wrestling history, and fans would really, really eat that up. So, you know, and look, AEW may need it because AEW has suffered a big problem here. And I know this is the Raw report, but I want to talk about this briefly. AEW, 2 weeks in a row, couldn't draw 600,000 people when they moved to Friday. And guess what? Their new show is going to be on a Friday. I know it's the basketball playoffs, and they're going back to Wednesday, and that could be all well and good, but the new show is going to be Friday. And if this is any indication, this is not good. You're talking about a federation that was coming close to 1 million, and now you're doing 480,000? that's half your audience gone for 2 weeks in a row. That means half your audience 2 weeks in a row did not see your show, does not know what's going on. That is not a good thing. This moving around for basketball playoffs, moving around for different shows, this is not good. And then you were talking about starting a second show. I mean, I would say if I were Tony Khan, I would say, well, what does this prove? This proves that after SmackDown, nobody wants to watch another hour of wrestling. Very few people want to watch another hour of wrestling. So I don't want to put another show after SmackDown. I don't want to do it because people aren't going to watch it, and then it's going to make us look bad. I'd rather concentrate on our Wednesday show, and for now, that'll be good. Nope, they're going to spread themselves too thin, and they're going to put another show out there, and people are going to not tune in, I'm telling you, because the ratings don't lie. 400 and some odd thousand people is a disaster. That's the lowest rating they've ever done, ever. Ever. 2 weeks in a row. That's not good news, Mike. They might want to reconsider this Friday thing.
Right. And like I said, they're going to eventually move over to TBS, right? I think that's the plan, right? So.
Yep.
And they're going to have to build up their ratings again because it's going to take time for people to get used to them being on TBS. Yeah, it's the same. It's the same company and all that stuff, but still doesn't belabor the fact that it is going to take time for people to get used to them being on TBS. And they're going to have to build.
And one last thing about AEW. Apparently the signing of Andrade has started what I think is going to be a dangerous trend. Now, Andrade's great, and I told you he's great. He's a great wrestler. Is he a big draw? Probably not. But he's a great wrestler. And from what I hear, he has a large amount of creative control over his wins and losses even. He has to okay his losses. Now, if a guy like Andrade can get that kind of a deal, what do you think is going to happen if Charlotte Flair's contract does come up? What do you think is going to happen if they do want to sign a Braun Strowman? They do want to sign a Samoa Joe. They're going to say, I have a lot more star power than Andrade. And if he has control over his wins and losses, I want control over mine. And pretty soon you got a whole federation of people who can say, I don't want to lose. I think they started a dangerous trend with this, Mike. I think this is a huge mistake.
It's a huge mistake, but then again, you know, I don't want to say it could work out, but it is a huge mistake. And maybe to get these guys, you have to do that, but only for certain guys. And look, apparently, you know, and probably you're probably going to have to do that with Charlotte Flair, maybe, but who knows? I mean, maybe she'd just be happy enough just to be away from the WWE. But then, and being able to be with Andrade, but and then of course, Lord knows what's going to happen. Yeah, he's a retired wrestler and he can't do it in the ring. But what does happen if and when Ric Flair eventually does make it over to the AEW?
Well, exactly. What kind of demands are they going to make? Listen, here's the deal. You know how it works. If Andrade gets a creative control thing, these other wrestlers who know their bigger names, who know that they are bigger draws, they're going to say, hey, if this guy's getting this, I want this. And if I'm not getting it, why am I not getting it when Andrade got it? I won't settle. This is a bad, bad move by Tony Khan. Tony Khan should have stood his ground and said, you're not getting creative control. You can have some creative control over your character, and we will certainly use you as we see best, and we'll give you veto rights to one or two losses a year or something. If you really say, I'm not losing, okay. We'll respect that. But we're not giving you 50-50 control over your wins and losses. Who gets that? Hulk Hogan, maybe. Hulk Hogan got it. Maybe The Undertaker, I don't know. big, big names like that, Brock Lesnar maybe. That's about it. Andretti's none of those guys. So if he got this, now this is the equivalent of a baseball team saying, you know, our third starter from another team is we're signing him for a bazillion dollars. And then you get a first starter saying, well, if he got that, I want $2 bazillion. And of course you're going to have to because he's bigger name. And then you've really started the ball rolling, haven't you? This is a mistake. This is a business mistake. And Tony Khan should know better than this. He should have told Andretti then walk away. We don't give people that much creative control. We'll respect the fact that if we said, you know, we want you to lose to Orange Cassidy three times in a row, that you'd say, well, I'm not doing that. We get that. But we're not going to give you a large amount of control over your wins and losses. We just can't. We have bigger names than you, and they don't have it. We'd rather compensate you monetarily than give you that because that's really hard for a promoter. Nope, and now you've set a precedent, and now everybody's going to want it. This is a mistake. Anyway, 90% of Raw was a mistake. Here's what I liked. I'll give you the good parts. I still think RK-Bro is doing okay. I still think that Randy Orton has made Matt Riddle watchable. Kofi Kingston put on a very good match with Riddle. By the way, I didn't talk about Mansoor. This thing is ridiculous. Mansoor has absolutely no charisma. I don't give one damn about his career at all. Or what the hell is happening with the former leader of Retribution. I don't care. What do you want to call him now? Ali? I don't know. Whatever you want to call him. I don't care. He has no charisma. He doesn't have what it takes to be a professional wrestler. Put him in a tag team or something, maybe. What I liked about Raw was Kofi Kingston match was very good. I enjoyed that. I enjoyed the hell out of the Sheamus thing. I thought that was great. Sheamus was great on commentary. That's the best part of Raw for me was listening to Sheamus on commentary, overplay his nose, and yet show his and sell it at the same time. You know, it's very good. He's good at what he does. Very, very good at what he does. Aside from that, there wasn't much to recommend here, was there? Everything was like a horror show. The guys who should have won, like Cedric Alexander, lose. RK-Bro lose. So now all we're going to look forward to is the Viking Raiders against Omos and AJ, as if that's really going to – the Viking Raiders are going to win, right? You've destroyed the women's division, completely destroyed the women's division. Apparently Eva Marie's coming next week, and this is going to be even more of a slap in the face. You wait and see how this is going to backfire. There are people saying, oh, no, she's gotten better. Everything's going to – you just wait and see how this is going to backfire. You think the women's division's destroyed now. You just wait. You just wait. And it just seems like the title matches have fizzled. Nobody cares. You've literally got Ricochet and Humberto Carrillo struggling for a number one contendership against Sheamus. Nobody cares about Ricochet or Humberto Carrillo. You got Drew McIntyre once again going with Bobby Lashley. Nobody's really caring about it. I'm sorry, they're not. The tag team thing, nobody cares about it because they know the Viking Raiders aren't going to win. Rhea Ripley is the women's champion. Has been an abject disaster. She has shown zero personality. She's looking very wooden and stiff in the ring for whatever reason. I don't know, because she didn't look that way in NXT. She's shown she doesn't have really the ability to use that mic and really sell a fight. I don't know what you're going to do. I really don't. I don't know what you're going to do. You're relegated to having the New Day fight a couple of times a show for some reason. No Bray Wyatt, I don't know why. Makes absolutely no sense. Angel Garza, you started something with him in his Rose thing, and now you just dropped it. It's okay, well, we've shown him for 2 weeks, and you won't see him again for 3 months. I don't know what the hell's going on, Mike. It just seems like it's just thrown together last minute.
You know, and look, one other thing that I did enjoy was the whole thing with Kofi Kingston backstage, you know.
Well, I enjoyed
it. We don't know where that's going. And with all the crap that they give. And I did enjoy the ending of the contract signing because you knew that table was going to get broken anyway, right? I mean, at some point, and that's how those contract signings generally go. That was a new and you know, I could, probably could have seen it coming if I was would have been thinking about it, but I like that spot because, you know, that type of thing, yeah, maybe that table was pre-cracked or whatever.
That was
you could buy, you could buy, because of that, because of what that sword is, you could buy that sword possibly cutting through that table.
No, I'm with you. It's just that I don't see what it has to do with anything. It's not like he's going to hit him with a sword inside the Hell in the Cell. So, and as far as the Kofi Kingston thing, look, I would enjoy that too, except I have been preconditioned that the WWE is going to do things and then say, ah, we thought about it. We're not going to do it. What happened to Sonya Deville is going to be the evil general manager who's trying to usurp Adam Pearce's authority. Gone. What happened to, oh, we're going to have a long-term feud between Shelton Benjamin and Cedric Alexander? Gone. What happened to, well, Bray Wyatt's going to be introducing his newer character or something? Gone. What happened to Angel Garza is going to be a major player now. He's going to come out with this rose and gone. What happened to Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross are best friends and she's still going to try to get her out of her possession? Gone. So I'm not buying into this anymore. They might do this with Kofi Kingston for 3 or 4 weeks, and then they just drop it. Oh, MVP tried to recruit Kofi Kingston, but he didn't want to go. And that's it. That's the angle. Nothing more. That's it. It wouldn't surprise me because WWE does it all the time. So until they show me, no, we're going to do more with this. If next week they do more with it, I'll say, oh, okay, maybe we're going to get something then. But I've been preconditioned to not automatically jump when they say, oh, this could be a branch on a tree, because so many times they cut the limb off. Anyway, did I enjoy the show? Not really. Not really. I'm going to give it a D, a flat D. I think that aside from Sheamus and a couple other things, this show failed completely for me, Mike. What's your grade this week?
Yeah, I'll give it a little bit better. I'll give it a D plus. And look, I think eventually when Sheamus does decide to hang him up, I tell you what, he could be a good guy on commentary.
Yes. Yes. He's got a natural, a lot of Irish people do, got a natural gift for the gab. We have a big electrical storm here. I think Todd was actually taken offline because of it, so we won't be able to get to his rating, but let's just say this. Raw has gone through a horrendous stretch. They don't even have to do very good to be better. If next week they have an average show, it's going to look like a B+. But they just continually put out garbage, and I can't figure it. I don't know what the hell they're doing over there or who's writing. Well, I kind of told you who's writing. That's the mentality of some of the people that are writing. So good luck to them. I mean, right now SmackDown is eating your lunch, man. They are eating your lunch consistently. And even an average SmackDown show is totally destroying you. Totally destroying you. It's a shame, because wasn't Raw the flagship show? Anyway, we'll be back here on Friday. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. WrestleChat Radio is a Savage Blade production.